The Regional Transportation District, RTD, is one of the largest governments in the state of Colorado. So of course the state legislature wants to rip away its elected board so they can place their minions in control. This doesn't sit well with Kathleen Chandler, who runs the local government project at Independence Institute. I'm John Caldera. This is the audio version of our show, Devil's Advocate. You can watch that program by going to youtube.com and looking for IITV. That stands for Independence Institute TV. Please subscribe and share this podcast. Enjoy. A long time ago in a galaxy far away, I was the chairman of the RTD board, the Regional Transportation District. Things have changed a bit. The woman who runs our local government project at the Independence Institute, Kathleen Chandler, has been keeping an eye on RTD. All right, Kathleen, what's your beef with RTD?
Well, it's not really my beef with RTD. It's just that the RTD doesn't really service the right people, and it costs way too much money, and it really doesn't do what it's supposed to do. So my beef with them is, well, it's government run, it's government dictated, it steals your money, and it gives you no service. So, hey, what's the care about RTD?
You said it doesn't do its job. What do you think its job is?
Its job is to help people that are transit dependent get from point A to point B. And it does all of those things poorly. First of all, it services people that are not transit dependent, which is wrong, because that's what we're trying to help, is the people that need to get from point A to point B.
And don't have a car or some other way to get there.
Exactly. They are, you know, dependent on somebody else to get them from point A to point B. And secondly, it doesn't do a very good job of getting from point A to point B, because oftentimes my point A is not your point A, and a bus line is not very flexible enough, and plus rail is inflexible completely.
So this is a real passion of mine. So pardon me in advance for always piping up on this one. Denver had a private bus company, the Denver Tramway Corporation. We actually had light rail. We called them trams. And over time, it became less and less profitable and looked like it was going to go out of business. Same thing happened in a lot of cities. So the Johnson administration in the 60s came up with the Urban Mass Transit Act to throw money to cities to keep these businesses alive. And in 1970, RTD was created. And then in 72, the people of the district voted a half-cent sales tax. This was to not only keep buses going, but really it was to build 118 miles worth of fixed rail system. They called it PRT back then, which, of course, never came. But the idea of that Urban Mass Transit Act, the idea of government bailing out private transit, was not so that some guy in Highlands Ranch doesn't have to pay parking when he goes downtown. It was for people who were poor, who could not afford a car, so that they could live the American dream. I'll get on my high horse. Show me a man whose mobility is limited to how far his feet will take him. I will show you a man in despair. Show me a man whose mobility can only take him as far as RTD will take him. And I will show you a man who forever will be on the bottom of the economic ladder in America. And that's why RTD is one of the most systematically racist organizations we have.
And that is so true, unfortunately, because the people that RTD needs to service are the very people that need to be able to have the mobility to get a job, a better paying job, or to get to move into a better area. And when you're stuck on a specific route, you don't have the ability to move, whether that's to find that better job or to find that more affordable housing, or even a safer house. I mean, a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, they might be conscripted to living in a very poor neighborhood that isn't safe for them.
The beautiful thing about a car, and I tell my story about my $500 car, which I depended on for everything and gave me every opportunity I had, is that you can work where most profitable, you can live where most affordable, you get to make the choices, and right, your $500 Datsun, which is what I had, can go anywhere a $100,000 Mercedes can go,
right,
just as well. It is equality of mobility.
Right.
Now, there are people who win the lotto. You know, they live near a rail line, they work downtown, and so the 96% subsidy, and it is 96% when you put in capital, of what we pay goes to them. That doesn't seem very fair. It seems to me that that money should actually go to the transit dependent.
Right, and that's why maybe they chose to live there, right? But also the people that live near a light rail station, that also tends to be a little bit more expensive place to live because they sell it as convenience to the RTD or to a light rail station. So a person who is more poor is probably not going to live there to begin with because they can't afford to live in the high-rise building that they that high-density apartment complex that they put right next to the rail station.
There's a real access of evil that happens around transit.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the enviros who want to get you out of your car by gunpoint. You've got the social engineers who want to make everybody live in pack-and-stack housing because they know how you should live.
Exactly.
And then you've got the guys who make all the money off the cronyism, and that's the real power. And that's where the bonds come from. It's where the land deals come from. It's where the developers know where to put these things and get subsidies to make the pack and stack housing. My time at RTD taught me that it's not about moving people. RTD is about moving money. Once you understand that, you get why RTD is such a huge failure of providing mobility to those people who need it.
Right. And in fact, that's what the definition of RTD should be. It's about mobility. It's about helping people to get to where they need to in order to be the most successful, the most flourishing. You know, that's the people we want to help. It's not the guy in Highlands Ranch that has a Tesla that's parked in his garage charging so that he can catch the light rail to go downtown to go to the Rockies game. I mean, that's usually who we're...
I don't mind that guy taking the choo-choo train now that it's built, but why should working people who pay more of their money in sales tax, which is where RTD gets its money, why should they have to pay such a burden so that this guy doesn't have to pay full fare?
Full fare.
You know, that's exactly the point. If we had full fare, great. And then that guy would have to decide, is it really worth the $75 or so that it takes to get him downtown? Or not.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the marketplace might give some other options.
Right. Absolutely. And I wanted to bring up the fact that the State General Assembly has a new House bill, 24-1447, that's really going to change the makeup of RTD. It's going to change the way that the board is elected. It's going to change all kinds of other stipulations within the RTD. And it's going to actually push even more money towards light rail and towards that train to I don't even know where.
To nowhere.
Yeah.
All right, a few things. Let me set the table on this one. One, we don't know what's going to happen to this bill
right
after we record this, so it might get changed. Hopefully we'll die. We'll find out. When it comes to rail, I've always said that RTD stands for reason to drive. But after they built Fast Tracks or built part of it and never completed it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just like the other promise they made in 1972, I found out that RTD actually stands for Road to Denver, because even though most of our commutes are from suburb to suburb, on the trolley system, if you want to go from Boulder to Lakewood, you go to Denver.
Yes.
You want to go from Littleton to the airport, you're going to Denver. You want to go from here, Littleton to the tech center, you're going to Denver. There's a winner in this. What a surprise. And that winner is Denver,
yep.
Even though fewer and fewer people as a percentage work in Denver.
Right. And in fact, that's one of my biggest complaints about the entire rail system out to the airport is that you have to go into Denver to catch the right train in order to go back out there. I live out near the airport. And for me, I have to go all the way from where I live, all the way into Denver, and then all the way out to the airport. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And you get to lug your bags
right
to a feeder bus. Lug your feeder bus to a regional bus. Lug this from the regional bus at Union Station into a train when you get there.
It's called Uber. Uber or Lyft work a whole lot better than the RTD system.
And if you had some sort of system where that subsidy, that massive 96% subsidy for what was usually the fourth largest government in the state, RTD, if that money went directly to transit-dependent people, poor people, means-tested people, they could choose to pay full fare on the trolley or get an Uber or vanpool or, heaven forbid, buy their own car.
Well, exactly. I've always said that we already have a system, not that I agree with it, but we have a system already where somebody gets an electronic benefits transfer, an EBT card, and on that card they get money for, food, for other things that they might need. Well, why not have that same person then qualify for some money on that card that they could use for an Uber, a Lyft, even for own their own gasoline in their own car. And that subsidy would be direct to that person who then qualifies. It now isn't paying for the Hallie's Ranch guy or anybody else, or it's not even being used by people that live outside that serviced area that are having to pay into the system. So I think that's really about mobility instead of charging everybody the same rate and trying to force you into using it.
It's funny, you keep saying, so RTD pays for 4% of its entire budget.
Right.
4% seems to be an interesting number because for that, 4% of all the commutes in the Denver metro area happen on RTD. That's a U.S. Census number, 4%. So when you add the now nearly $8 billion for fast tracks and all the rest, RTD is by far the most expensive transportation project of anything in the metro area, of any of the cities, of any of the cities put together, what they put into roads. It is the most expensive and gives us the least bang for the buck. And that's what we bought.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to build that system out statewide and call it the Front Range Rail. Yeah. I think that would be a good idea.
Well, I think that's what Mr. Governor Polis is trying to do.
All right, so let's talk about this bill.
Yeah.
Now, RTD has an elected board. I was on that elected board. And I got an earful from constituents when things weren't going right. I got an earful from riders when they had problems. And I was a point of accountability. This bill, if I understand it right, is to take away our elected board and put in minions from the governor's appointees and other appointees who don't have the direct accountability to voters. Do I have that about right?
You do, you do. And that's one of the things that just really irks me the most is we have the one side of our government yelling, we need more representation. We're fighting democracy. We're trying to, you know.
Fighting for democracy.
For democracy. And yet they turn around and they're taking away elected position and having them more appointed. One of the things I do on the local government project is I try to get people appointed to boards and commissions, because that's actually where a lot of power lies. And what I would love to see is eventually a board full of like seven people, everybody look at each other, whatever that board is doing, and vote themselves out of existence, right? Because really, that board should
talking
not,
like a euthanasia kind of thing?
I'm talking about the citizen.
All of this, the board.
The citizen,
oh, okay,
yeah.
I was gonna say.
The citizens that are on this board. Let's say, in Boulder, they have the Prairie Dog Commission. Okay, whatever. There really shouldn't be a Prairie Dog Commission, but there is. So why don't the people on that board get together and say, you know what, let's not have this Prairie Dog Commission, vote themselves out of office. That way, if anybody has a question about a prairie dog, they're actually going to go to their city council member. So this is no different.
It is funny that the folks down at the legislature who are screaming the most that Trump is a threat to democracy
exactly.
is going to take away representative democracy at the Regional Transportation District, one of the largest governments in the state of Colorado. Someone explain that one to me.
Exactly. That to me is the most difficult. And in fact, it says the transition board is going to go from 15 currently to 11 and 3, and they're going to continue to decrease the number of board members till they hit their target. And it smacks in the face of what we know to be true is if you're going to make a decision on my behalf, then I should have a say-so. And that means directly electing you and being able to redress my grievances to you properly.
RTD is a government.
Yes, it is.
It has the right to tax. It has the right to go into debt. It has the right to condemn property and use eminent domain. It has all the powers of a huge government. And to say, we're just going to take that away and we're going to put in people we want because they want to manipulate the system. We're going to have the CDOT director do this and somebody else from there and this somebody from this. Oh, well, don't worry, we'll get a token person from an elected position. If people aren't upset by that, they have no right to scream Trump is a threat to democracy.
Absolutely. And what's really sad is it's all really stemming from, it appears to be, Governor Polis saying, I know what's best. So therefore, as your elected governor, I too can be in charge of this, which was elected. But I'm going to take that power back in, and it's going to be all in the governorship by these appointments. that doesn't at all let people be represented well.
New Jersey and eastern states have this kind of system. You want to you have a problem with your bus route, you have to go down to the Capitol because the state agency runs the entire transit system for the state. One of the beautiful things about Colorado is we keep our government closer to the vest so that the guy we see at the grocery store is the guy we go, what is going on with this? Why is my bus late?
Right. And that's why the being involved in your local government really is where it is at, because your local government directly impacts you. You know, it's very difficult to petition the state of Colorado, much less the federal government. And so we need to be able to petition the right people at the right time. In fact, there's a new proposed ballot initiative sent off by citizens that is 284. I'm not sure if they're going to collect enough signatures to get it on the ballot. But they want to do is if you pay the fee, then you get to say. And a lot of people in the metro area.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it any fees assessed for the purpose of funding mass transportation should be assessed by the person who makes that transaction. So if you get on the bus, you have the right to vote on what's happening with your RTD. And it is only going to be approved by the subdivision of where that fee is being collected. So where I live is actually RTD's District F. There is a lot of that district where people pay the tax, but that area is not served by RTD. And so it's kind of terrible that you're paying a tax for something that you're not even being served by.
Talk to the people in Allen's Park. RTD's district goes to the Continental Divide.
Yeah.
They are collecting money and putting people in debt all the way to the Continental Divide. RTD's district is over 2,400 square miles. This is a big district. People say, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a rail system like, you know, like they do in Paris? You know, they've got about the same population as the Denver metro area. And it's like, that's true. The difference is we're 2,400 square miles. They are 24 square miles.
Yeah, exactly. And I personally don't want to live in a city like that. The reason most people live in Colorado is because they love the fact that there's a little bit of space between their neighbors and that they can drive to go to the mountains, drive to go down to southern Colorado when they
want
to.
Not if you suck the money out of roads
exactly.
And put it into trolley cars, yeah. Which is what this is all about.
Absolutely.
You know, CDOT had, at least as a couple of years ago, a deficit of about $9 billion for what they wanted to do for roads, their roads in Colorado. Fast Tracks is costing close to $8 billion. So that little bit of 4% of commutes, and that our Fast Tracks carries a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of that, is $8 billion. The entire state could have had the road system they needed.
Absolutely.
If these social engineers were not siphoning money away from roads to put into something that they want to put guns to our head to get us onto these trains.
And that's what's so frustrating too. As a rural Coloradan, let's say you live outside of the metro area and your roads are deteriorating even faster because of weather conditions out there and they're not being maintained as well. And then when you drive into Denver and you're still driving on potholes after potholes, but yet they're putting all this money into buses and all this money into rail lines and all this money really even into bike lanes and all kinds of other mobility
They call that road dieting.
I know,
so you take away lanes or you put up these little ballards.
Lollipops.
They call them lollipop sticks, ballards, which means you cannot get around people when they're making a left turn or a right turn and it makes more congestion. They want more congestion.
Yep.
People who want pack and stack housing and they want to give crony developers a lot of money, they want bad traffic so that it forces you onto the government monopoly.
Absolutely. Even right here in front of the Independence Institute, we have these beautiful, bike lanes. And they're stacked with all these little lollipop things. And they put these little barriers. And I have seen more than one accident happen because of the way it's configured. But God forbid that you get into that bike lane. In fact, this morning on the way into work, I saw a street sweeper that was specifically designed for the bike lane. It was narrow and it was going right down. I'm thinking, oh, wow, they're getting their bike lane swept and cleaned and maintained. But yet you can't even go down I-25 and not have debris everywhere, trash, It's just pathetic.
Having survived RTD, and I learned so much. You talk about local government. I learned more in my 4 years of RTD than I ever learned in college, than I ever learned anywhere. I got to see the disgustingness up close. I got to see how it's not about helping people. It's about helping rich guys. And you look at something like the rail on I-25 going down to the tech center. People should not look at that when there's a train going by.
Right.
That's cute. It's nice. You need to look at it when there's a train not there. This is wasted right-of-way that could be used for a toll lane. It could be used for a general purpose lane. People could be flying down that right-of-way. But by RTD turning it into tracks, what it says is, we don't want your Ubers, we don't want your vanpools, we don't want your school buses, we don't want our buses, we want only us. That's the ugliness. Yeah, it costs a lot of money, but the real cost is the cost of right-of-way that they've taken away from something that could be an answer. Contrast that to how I go home a lot, which is on the toll lane, the carpool toll lane, which RTD has the best regional bus service in the nation, arguably, up to Boulder. And it's because of that lane and being able to have stops that go off the line and back on the line or direct routes. That's the future. The South is the past, but the South is part of the monopoly that protects the monopoly. It's empire building.
Absolutely. Yeah. And those rail lines, it is really sad because people are always looking at it like, oh, look how fast that one car is going. The one train car is going. And then you're thinking, but there's not 30 cars behind it.
And also, you got to keep an eye on that train car because it passes you in the car, but then you drive right up to it because, unlike you, it has to stop.
Yeah.
And wait a minute or two and then stop and wait a minute or two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad because all that wasted space for them to go down that track and there's nobody behind them. And even if they could, people aren't going to ride it for a myriad of reasons. One is they don't want to have to pay that extra fee. Two is it's unsafe. I mean, you even, before the our talk here today, we were talking about the fact that RTD has their own police now because it's so unsafe.
Talk about empire building.
Exactly.
When a transit agency now has decided to get into the police industry.
Right.
When a bus agency decides, I think we're going to get into the rail services. This is empire building.
Right.
Now RTD is slinging guns with guys with badges and guns and handcuffs. This is not what we were built for. We were built to give poor people and transit-dependent people mobility so that they could have a shot at the American dream.
Right, which is why I go back to, hey, let's give you a voucher and a little card that says you can use this for any way that you can get to work. And we've qualified you so that we know that you actually need this subsidy. And we as a society recognize that and want to help you. That's
what else
it's
does
all
this
about.
Bill do? Because obviously it takes away direct representation, takes away democracy.
Oh, and speaking of that, by the way that the RTD board will be elected will be by adding in ranked choice voting, which is a completely another subject.
Now, by the way, I hadn't heard this until you told me. So, as we found out in Boulder with the mayoral race, ranked choice voting changes the dynamic of elections. And the guy who would have won in a two-way race doesn't win here. A guy who would have run in a runoff doesn't win. And so it's an easier system to game. And RTD is going to turn it into ranked choice voting.
Yes.
I find that curious.
Well, and also I just want to alert everyone that the minute this obviously gets in for RTD board, then that is absolutely not just the nose underneath the tent with the camel. It's the whole body, pretty much, because if they can do it here, then they'll start to implement it in all kinds of other issues. So ranked choice voting is going to come down to where you are today.
Isn't it funny? Because I know Boulder. Boulder has ranked choice voting for its mayor because the people directly voted for that system. Here, it's going to come from not even the voters in the RTD district, not even their board members, but by the state government.
Yeah, the state legislature.
Man,
they
love democracy.
I know that. That's the whole point, right? Is that they love democracy. But it's also going to do all kinds of things about how do we increase youth ridership.
The bill actually says that.
Yeah, that is one of their tenets. It says opportunities to increase ridership. It says to facilitate increased ridership among youth. Well, you I mean, thought it was free for youth.
Yeah. You mean the people who can ride for free up until 19? So how do we increase that? We'll have to pay them even more. Here, it's free. Here's even more. What?
And here's the problem with that is the biggest problem we're having with those that are being disruptive on the train tends to be those youth. They're the ones that are striking out and hitting people on the buses. They're the ones. So why are you know?
You're just some grumpy old broad,
I'm a grumpy
you know?
Old, yes, a grumpy old or a grumpy old grandma. But I just think that's really kind of one of those things. It's like, how do you increase ridership for the youth if it's already?
It is
free?
Interesting. We now have 2 months a year where it's free.
Yeah.
And their numbers haven't gone up all that much because RTD has turned out to be a very dangerous way to ride.
Yeah. Well, and half the time by being free, I know with the height of the stolen cars at DIA, you would ride the train for free from Denver, go to DIA, steal a car, ride all over, do all kinds of stuff, and then, you know, dump the car, and then jump back on the right rail, go out to DIA and pick up another vehicle. I mean, it was just this revolving door. So, you know, having things for free doesn't always mean that people are going to use it in the right, obviously in the right responsible
Nothing
way.
Nothing is more expensive than free.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we can debate that too with higher education. I mean, there's just so many things when you offer it for free, then people don't value it.
What else does this bill do?
Well, it's going to talk about the fair market value of use of the district transfer facilities. So that means that if you are having a district transfer facility, then all of the stuff around it, you're going to have to force everybody to, quote, require that person pay rent at fair market value for such a use of a transfer facility. Who's going to determine that? What does government have to deal with about making sure that everything's at fair market value? They don't do that anyway. I mean, I just can't even imagine.
Actually, I need to see this one.
Yeah.
Let me grab this one. Repeals. You got it backwards, I think. Repeals the requirement that a person pay fair market value.
Yes, repeals
for such,
that.
So what it does is right now, if RTD has some property and they're going to rent something to a store, they're supposed to charge you a fair market rate. Here, what this is saying, no, we can pick and choose the winners in the market, and we would rather have this type of business there. So we're going to charge you less to be in our shopping center that RTD owns.
Right. And I think that's absolutely ridiculous because it just sets it up for picking winners and losers, determining what businesses is a specific area and not the market. What if you don't want a specific type of community thing and it can't support that in that community?
What they're trying to do is be able to decide what a transit-oriented development has.
Looks like.
And this is, you know, there are several people who want to build societies. Hitler loved building models of what he thought the city should be. And the urban growth folks and the social engineers are doing the same thing here in Denver because they know how we should live.
That's right. They'll know if you really want a Starbucks as opposed to a whatever else kind of a coffee shop as opposed to maybe you don't even want a coffee shop in that community. And what will happen is you'll be forced into having that in your community whether you want it or not because they've been subsidized with their rent. So that's just really crazy. But the one that really galls me the most is money transferred to the department in connection with the Burnham Yard Rail property. They're going to transfer $6.5 million to this rail property. I mean, again, they're picking the winners and the losers. They're determining whose rail line they're going to pay for, whose they're not. They're probably going to do eminent domain around the whole thing as well.
Choosing the mode of transportation.
Absolutely.
They, at the state level, they are going down to a local government and say, thou shall have steel wheels because we like steel wheels and nobody can compete with steel wheels. And we will control the pack and stack housing. And the developers are going to love it because they will get the subsidies to build pack and stack housing around train stops. You know, the same game is played all over. And it's the same old thing. It's cronyism. It is not about helping people. It's not about helping traffic, for God's sake. It's about making traffic worse.
Right. And the people that are hurt the most are those that really are dependent on transit, some kind of mobility. They are not being serviced well. They are not giving the choices. And when they are given that you can go from here to here, that limits their choices as far as finding a good job, as far as finding good housing, even maybe being able to help their children get to the right school. Because now they're going to have everything along a specific corridor instead of giving them the choices that we really do all should have and enjoy. That's the American way, right? That's what being in Colorado is about, is being able to drive where you want to, get where you want to, when you want to, whether that's through Uber or through your own car or through another service, but not being stuck on government-run transportation.
I spoke with a family out of this wonderful daughter who got a scholarship from ACE Scholarships to go to a private school of their choice. It was terrific. And we understand educational choice didn't quite get mobility choice. In order for this girl, a beautiful young lady of color who needed to get to this better school, she had to spend 2 hours on RTD buses in each direction.
Yeah.
That was 4 hours a day. You know, what she needed was an Uber.
Yeah, what she needed
was to get there. Yeah. But instead, we said, poor black girl, no, you get the short end of the stick.
Right. And not only was that 4 hours of her day that could have been used for a better purpose, but it's also putting her potentially in a physical difficulty because she's having to maybe watch her surroundings. She's feeling unsafe. There's just a lot of things that can happen. And as a parent, would you want your child to be in a situation like that? I was telling a story to John earlier about my mom when she was living with me. She had we wanted to get her into a CESA ride. And so
by the way, is a service that RTD does for handicapped.
Right. And so my mom, to qualify for a CESA ride, had to go to a special class to prove that my mom could walk a certain number of feet, could walk on uneven surfaces. I mean, she had to actually take this little test.
She had to go through an obstacle course.
Yeah. I guess that works. So finally, my mom got her little card that said she qualifies for a CESA ride. So I call up because I wanted to get my mom from my house to the Silver Sneakers, which was the little exercise class. And I'm working, right? So I couldn't do that. So I call up a CESA ride and I say, okay, we need to get my mom from here to here. Can you have the little bus come meet my mom at my house on these days? And they're like, oh, no, ma'am, we don't come to your house. You have to get your mom to the closest stop. What? So I had to walk my mom a quarter mile to the stop to get on the accessor ride to get to the Silver Sneakers. Well, that's not going to work with my mother who's 80-something years old. So the whole thing fell apart. I ended up, Uber. So I set up an account where I had access to it, where I could text the driver, say, there's this little old lady sitting on my porch. Her name is Kay. Would you please pick her up, put her in the car, and take her to her Silver Sneakers? And I could leave him a tip. I could talk to him. My mom knew the picture. I could send my mom the picture of the driver. It was amazing. Life-changing for me because I had the peace of mind that my mom was being taken care of. She could go where she needed to. So I'm telling you, accessor ride was okay, but Uber and all of Lyft have been game changers for the senior population.
My story goes something similar. In college, I was able to save up $500 of beer money. And if you knew how much I liked beer in college,
that's a lot.
That was a sacrifice.
Especially back then.
Yeah. And I bought a really sexy Datsun 210. If people don't know what a Datsun 210 is.
I had one.
Really?
It was
this blue. God off. Mine was red or faded red. This little tin can cracked windshield, faded red paint. It actually, when it rained, water would pool on the passenger side. I had to take a hammer and a nail and poke a hole in the floorboard to let the water drain out. But when I was able to get this car, I was able to hold down a job and finish up college. I was able to start a business. I was able to go see clients. I was able to do everything a guy in a Lexus could do for $500.
Exactly.
And I would drive by and I'd see people standing, waiting for a government-owned conveyance to come at the government's schedule to take you where some guys from the government think you ought to be going. And I'm not talking about people who are taking the ride because they didn't want to take their car. I'm talking about people who are dependent on it. And I said, who has a shot at the American dream? The guy with a $500 car or these poor bastards who are sitting out in the rain waiting for what the government thinks is where we need to go, or some social engineer has decided. And I think if only we took that money, that 96% of that money to RTD, and gave it to those people, how empowered they would be. I've seen women holding their babies in snowstorms as I drive by.
I know.
And they're waiting for the bus.
Yeah.
It is cruel. I will go so far as to say it is racist.
Well, exactly, because where they try to service them and where they try to go to is underserved neighborhoods, but that doesn't always translate to those that can't walk four or five blocks to get to where they need to be. I mean, it is sad. We drive to the gym in the mornings, my husband and I, and oftentimes there is a bus stop there, and you see people that are carrying their bags, from the grocery store, and they just look so depressed because they have to ride from that spot. And if the bus is late, they stand out there in the rain or wherever. They are not being serviced well. And so if we're a compassionate society, we should be servicing them well.
It's funny that the people who are pushing this bill are the same ones who say we need to do more for the poor. We need to do more for the poor. Really, all they're doing is stealing from the poor, because poor people spend a larger percentage of their money on sales tax.
Right.
And we give it to the wealthy so that they can keep their cars at home. And they don't have to pay parking when they go to a Rockies game. There is something truly sick about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It just speaks in the idea that, if you are unfortunately in an economic class, you're almost going to always be there if you don't have the ability to be mobile. The mobility that we're offering people, the mobility that they should offer, that we as a society should offer them, is the ability to move mobily, not only in their physical, but also in their financial capacity. Moving from here to there, getting a better place to live, getting their children to a better education, all of that is part of being a good society.
You do an incredible job telling people and convincing people to get involved in local government, that there's boards and commissions on their backyard that have real power, the zoning commission, the library boards, the liquor boards. They make life and death decisions for business people and for the community. People want to get a hold of you to learn more about that and how to get involved in that, because it's really satisfying, fascinating, fun work to do. What do they do?
Well, they can go to our website, which is thinkfreedom.org. And about every couple of months, I offer a local government class. And that class will teach you everything you need to know about how to find local boards, local commissions that you can volunteer to be on. These are not elected positions. These are opportunities.
You don't have to run for office.
You don't have to run.
There'll be no attack ads
exactly.
against you.
Right. I mean, I can't guarantee there'll be no attack ads, but I can guarantee that you don't have to pay in terms of being an elected official, which means raising money,
I've never seen a board member a volunteer board member ever be the attack of...
Probably not. But I can guarantee if you get on these boards or commissions that your voice will be heard. And that's really what it's about. It's about empowering citizens and recognizing that they are the actual solution to the problem of the overreach of government. So go to our website. About every 2 to 3 months, we offer these classes. They're usually by Zoom, which is a really great format because, again, Colorado is a very big state, and we want to make sure that every corner is being serviced, because as we mentioned, RTD only services this many people up and down the Front Range. We want to service the entire state of Colorado. And so this is an opportunity for those that even live in remote areas to be able to come and hear about how they can make a difference in their community.
Go to thinkfreedom.org. Look for the local government project.
Yep.
Get in contact with you.
Yep.
Thanks for everything you do.
You're welcome.
It makes such a difference.
It's a great job.
And we'll see you on the light rail.
Sounds good. Probably not.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Devil's Advocate, I hope you'll share it with a friend, and I hope you'll subscribe and follow the show. We have new ones released weekly. Remember, this audio was taken from our TV show. To watch it, just search the letters IITV for Independence Institute TV on YouTube for this and many other great conversations.